Since its founding in 1926, the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce has been a catalyst for the success of Greater Nashua's diverse business community. Through advocacy, building connections, and professional development, each episode of Chamber Chats spotlights two local businesses sharing their unique journeys, services, and successes. Whether you're a business owner, community member, or curious about our region's businesses, Chamber Chats is the perfect way to connect and get inspired. Welcome to Chamber Chats.
Good morning, Nashua. You are listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. And you can watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. I am Alyssa O'Mara, Programs Manager at the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce, and I will be one of your hosts today, along with Emma Williamson, Membership Relations Manager. Good morning, Emma.
Hello, Alyssa. How are you?
Doing well this morning. Good. How are you?
You can find us here every other Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m. thanks to our generous sponsor, Kevin Russ Emery, Inspirational Catalyst. Make sure to give both Chamber Chats and the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce a like and follow on Facebook to stay up to date with all of our amazing events and programs, such as...
Yeah, speaking of amazing events and programs, we have a few coming up in the next few days. The holiday season is upon us, but we still want to see your pretty faces Wednesday. Tomorrow, the 18th, from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m., we have Making the Most of Your Membership. That is a Zoom call, so you can join from wherever you are, in your pajamas, in your office. It doesn't matter. Thursday, we will have Out of the Box Lunch. It is 12 to 1 p.m., and our speaker this month is going to be Lady Baxley from the Greater Nashua Mental Health Organization. And we also have tickets available and on sale for the 2025 Legislative Economic Outlook Breakfast. Yes, it's a huge event. We love it. It's every January, kicking off the political season, the year. It's going to be Wednesday, January 15th this year from 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. at the Nashua Country Club. This is a member and non-member event. Member tickets are $30 and non-members are $35. Breakfast is included, and you get to hear about all the wonderful things happening in our city and state in the upcoming year.
Exciting things. And our first guest today is Cole Morgan from Coffee and Kindness. Welcome, Cole.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Oh, of course.
All right. Well, we already have talked so much since arriving here. We talked through all the commercials. But for those of you who are not familiar with Coffee and Kindness, it is an incredible, incredible coffee and cafe, would we say? Bakery?
Yeah, specialty coffee, pastries, and sandwiches.
Which are amazing. As a gluten-free person, I have to give it the plug. We love the gluten-free sandwiches there. So good. And all the treats. I don't know if anyone has had their espresso brownie, which is gluten-free, but holy moly. I actually bought one and threw it in my bag as I was leaving the other day, and then found it later that evening and was like, oh my God, yes, I forgot I bought this. It was an amazing treat. Best lattes I've ever had. So, jumping right in, you just had your 1 year anniversary a month and a half ago-ish?
Yeah, October.
October. How was the first year?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The first year was incredible. I mean, this has been a dream of mine for almost 15 years to do this. And so many things have been so much better than I could ever imagine. You know, watching a community form the moment we opened our doors, we had this incredible community form. And then getting to tick the box of starting to roast my own coffee for the first time, getting to be a barista for a little while. Just so many things I've always wanted to do. Or as my wife jokes, I opened the shop just to buy my dream coffee grinder.
There you go.
So yeah, it's been amazing, and it makes all the problems and challenges of a small business owner kind of fade to the background most days.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot going on as a small business owner, and you just said it, you act as barista. I'm sure sometimes you're the roaster. Sometimes you are the floor cleaner. Like, it doesn't matter. You have to be able to wear all those hats. Is there anything that you would offer up as advice for someone who was looking to open their own small business or has that entrepreneurial spirit? Because I know this is not your first endeavor. You and your wife own multiple businesses now. Some might call you serial entrepreneurs. So for someone who's just starting out, you know, or talking to yourself at 22, what advice would you have?
That's a super good question. I don't think I would have listened to myself at 22, but I'll give the advice anyways. I think we have, my wife Amber and I have a bit of a unique perspective where I've started a software company. I did a software startup where I raised $2 million. I scaled it to $10 million. So I did the tech startup thing. Amber bought a 90-year-old flower shop. So we've purchased businesses. We've done tech startups. We've started small brick and mortar. And then I also have a live event company. So we've kind of done a couple of the things. And my biggest advice is make sure it's something that you're really passionate about and make sure that you're doing it for the lifestyle and not for something that you think you'll get or have or feel once you do it. Mm. I think that I wanted to open a coffee shop because I had this experience in a coffee shop when I was, I don't know, younger, 16, 17, 18, whenever it was, this place called Beantown in Hampstead, New Hampshire. Okay. And my stepbrother was the barista, and I walked in there one day, and this person, new person's behind the bar, she's making coffee. It was Claudia from Polite Coffee, who I didn't know at the time.
Oh my God.
And she was brewing a pour over, which again, never heard of it. So she made one single cup of coffee, and the coffee tasted like blueberries. Not a syrup, just the coffee itself tasted like blueberries. And it blew my mind that like coffee itself with no additions could have other flavors.
There's no syrup in that.
Yeah.
Nothing. So, which in every Ethiopia or African coffee can have berry flavors, which we can maybe talk about wonderful pieces of coffee, specialty coffee. Anyways, so I was chasing the dream of giving other people that experience of tasting something they thought was one way and completely shifting their perspective of like, oh my God, coffee can be incredible. You don't need milk. You don't need sugar. It's just this whole new world of coffee. Like wines have, you know, all these flavors. Coffee actually has 3 to 4 times more flavor notes than wines or whiskeys or anything.
There's so many things I want to touch on in that. First of all, pour over coffee. Can you give a breakdown real quick of maybe just how long one cup of pour over coffee takes so that people who aren't familiar can understand like the intricacies of actually making that? Because I recall, so there was a point when you and I first met that right before the holiday stroll, actually, you and Amber were hosting people for the stroll, and you were like, would you like an Irish coffee? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And I watched you do this process, and I was like, this is the longest cup of coffee I've ever seen be made in my entire life. But then it was amazing. And I had never experienced that before myself. Like when you handed it to me, I was like, this is bananas that one cup of coffee could taste this good.
Yeah. And to close the loop on the advice question.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. So I was doing it for the reason to give that experience. And then I opened a business that is very little of that experience. Mm. So it's been interesting to make sure that you align what your actual passion and purpose is without just accidentally opening a thing that does 10 things and you only want to do one of them. So the ones that have been successful has been a passion for like the whole broad spectrum. So just to close that loop, and yes, pour over coffee is the reason why I opened it. So we make like 4 pour overs a week out of the hundreds or, you know, thousands of coffees we serve.
Is
a month.
Just because people don't know, they don't or are not familiar? Okay,
mm-hmm. Totally. So pour over coffee. Coffee is something that is delicate and needs to be made by almost like artisan hands, if you want to think of the traditional stereotype, to bring out the maximum depth and quality of its characteristics. So if you think about like boxed wine versus grocery store wine, right? That's like one little step up. And then there's, you know, maybe someone that tries to make wine at home might be a little bit better. And then you start getting to like a local vineyard and then like famous vineyards that have been around for years. So there's all these like levels of it. It's the same thing for coffee. You can make coffee really fast in a machine. You can make coffee that tastes almost like pour over with a really, really expensive machine. It's all just about time and temperature and how well you can control those things. That's it. So if you can take all the time you need and be really precise with, you know, you grind the coffee fresh, coffee starts to stale within 30 seconds of being ground. Most people don't know that.
No.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
So having it super, super fresh, you start with the best ingredients and you get your water to an exact temperature. It should be between like 195 and 205 Fahrenheit. And for different coffees, you might want a different temperature, like a dark roast at 205 wouldn't taste great. So like just having that little bit of like, oh, maybe turn the water down a little bit for this one or up for this one. And then weighing it out precisely down to the 10th of a gram, you can taste it. Again, most people think that you're like a crazy obsessed person, but it's just...
It's science.
Well, I am a crazy obsessed person with coffee, but it is also science.
You're like making me embarrassed for the way I make my coffee in the morning.
See, I'm embarrassed because I walked here with my coffee from Dunkin' Donuts and I was like, crap.
Yeah.
So I will be going to Coffee and Kindness after to get a better coffee.
I went before. I have mine.
It's okay. It's
Cole, don't look.
It's a really big lesson that I definitely had to learn. We opened with we had vanilla, no syrups, whole milk and oat milk. Because I was very, like, almost militant about how I thought our coffee should be enjoyed.
Yeah.
And the biggest lesson I had to learn is that, like, coffee's how you like it. It's not how we like it. We're going to do our absolute best and use all of our knowledge and skill to make the best possible coffee for you. Mm-hmm. So that's why we now have all of our house-made syrups. So we have, I think, probably 8 or 10 syrups at any one point in time. But we don't just buy, you know, Monin off the shelf. We literally use extracts or extract things ourselves. So we kind of like met in the middle to make that great pour over, to make the great lattes without compromising on quality at all.
So you're making like artisan syrups.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we extract our own lavender. We buy our own fresh lavender that's U.S. grown. We extract it. We have all kinds of fun things.
That is amazing.
And now you mentioned doing that in-house. You also now have a chef and you make everything in-house, correct?
We do.
All the food?
Yeah, everything in our entire kitchen or on our menu is scratch made, except for our muffins. Technically, we bring those up from Boston every morning. But everything that's not a muffin is completely scratch made. Syrups, every sandwich, everything. Yeah.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM, 95.3 FM, live on Facebook and on WSMN.live. Cole, you talked about community. And I want to touch more on that because, again, we've had other guests on the show that have talked about community. And there's a lot of different, you know, types of communities, right? Like the local Nashua community, the small business owners around here, industry, as I knock things over with my coffee, industry professionals, because there are a handful of small artisan coffee shops like you have locally. So let's jump in there. We've had people in the past talk about how the support of people in your industry is really important. You know, how does that work around here locally? You mentioned earlier that, you know, there's not really, even though it's direct competition, it's not competition. Can you touch on that a little bit for our listeners?
For sure. There's no way that I could have started a coffee shop without the support of other shops within competing distances.
That's so beautiful.
I never worked a day in food service in my life before I opened the shop. Don't know if I would suggest doing that again. Hire really good people that know what they're doing is the secret there.
So
Union Coffee out in Milford, they sent baristas over on our opening day to literally work behind our counter.
Oh my god. And
I think they actually paid for their hours. Like they're like, that's the level of community that exists in specialty coffee. Is we did a latte art throwdown. So if you guys have ever had a fancy latte, I'm doing air quotes, where there's the design on top, whether it's a heart or a tulip or something, baristas at, you know, some point in their career will try and do latte art, and different shops take turns hosting a competition to see who can do the best art. So, you know, people, each shop has hosted it, and we all go and post for each other and share. And when one shop does something cool, maybe it's a new drink recipe. Like no one cares if no one's going to message you and be like, "Hey man, you stole my recipe." It's like, "Hey, did you see what we're releasing this week?" You know, and we all share it and we all do it. So, the spirit of collaboration and a rising tide lifts all ships is super strong because of what you talked about with pour over. We're like coffee missionaries basically in New England, where the West Coast has really grabbed onto this specialty artisan coffee, and we're still teaching some folks here in New England about it.
That's incredible. That just the fact that you all support each other so much and are in direct competition technically is just such a beautiful thing to me. I can't even get over it. So I guess my next question would be, what makes your shop unique? Like, why Coffee and Kindness? I know we, you know, peeked at your website earlier and saw like the little glimpse of story. So about you and Kyle, can you share a little bit about that? Like where this, you talked about where it came from for you, but where this partnership came from, why you guys work together, all of that fun stuff that sets you apart.
Yeah, totally. So Kyle and I have been best friends since middle school at some point, and we both found our love for coffee, I think, at Beantown. It was in Hampstead where we grew up, and we've just always been chasing coffee, as you know, trying to chase that first cup I talked about, that first blueberry note cup. And we wrote a script back in the day in like the end of high school or just maybe first year of his college called Six Cups in a Small Town, because there were six coffee shops in Hampstead of a town of like 7,000 people.
Oh, wow.
So like we've been thinking about coffee from like drinking it as a commodity in so many different ways. So for 15 years, we've had this idea of someday we would make coffee for a community. We even in 2014, we actually almost bought Flight Coffee in 2014. We were talking about it and we were in discussions with them. So we took a trip to the West Coast, and he had a 1986 Volkswagen Vanagon that we camped in for 2 weeks straight. So we started up in Bend, Oregon, over to Portland, all the way down to San Francisco, LA, and then San Diego. And at every shop we'd get to, we'd ask for them to introduce us to the next owner of the next shop we should visit. So we got tours of the 14 or 15 best coffee shops on the entire West Coast, like in their back room, like looking at their processes, everything. And then we still had to wait 9 years to open our shop here. But yeah, it's always just been leading to this.
That's awesome. If you could give our listeners just a little bit of, I guess, perspective on the Nashua community itself. Like, I know we've talked about the coffee community, but like the Nashua community itself, like, have they been supportive? What would you say has been like the a standout moment for you where in this community? Because obviously, you know, we know Amber has Fort Engage. You guys are like neighbors across the street from each other, which is adorable in every way. But you know, the other businesses around you, do you guys support each other as well? And is there collaboration in that regard, or is it just with the coffee community? A little bit of everything.
That's a super good question. I think more times than not, we've been super surprised at how tight-knit the community is. You know, downtown Nashua is almost like a, sometimes feels like a different city than other Nashua.
Yeah.
Like if you're downtown, you come downtown. If you're not, I think there's, over the last like decade or two, kind of been a stigma of like you either don't come here or you just drive through it. So we're starting to see that change. Things like the holiday stroll, the events we have downtown are super important. I'd love to see more events bring people downtown. I think that's going to be make or break for a lot of the new businesses here. Like Local Street Eats, we're so happy to see them open.
We're going there tonight.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's been really supportive in a lot of ways, and also a little bit surprised at some of the questions I've asked about, hey, has anyone collaborated on X, Y, or Z? And the answer has been, oh no, that, you know, we typically don't get a good response to that. But I think that's changing. I think that everyone is finally starting to realize that we're only going to do this together. And that's it. So I think that to answer your question, yeah, we've always been surprised. The community's incredible. The moment we opened our doors, we found our people. And as downtown becomes more united, it's only going to get better for everyone.
Yeah. All right, let's talk real quick about some of the events that you guys do. I know you mentioned the latte art thing, which bounces from location to location. You have an open mic night now?
We have an open mic night right now. It's every first and third Wednesday, which you totally should come sing at because I know you're a singer. And one of our baristas, Samantha, hosts that. She's in a band called Tis Tis Task that she plays everywhere. They're amazing.
Awesome.
It might switch to Thursdays. We're waiting to see. She might have a conflict. So either Wednesdays or Thursdays, watch our social media for that. We also do a board game night. We're going to start that back up again. The Relentless Dragon on Amherst Street, they sponsor our board game night. So we just get to go raid their stash of board games.
Oh, but is it like regular board games, or is it like, are we talking like Relentless Dragon? I mean, that's like some like intense tabletop game situation.
You should like board games, Income. I mean, like, well, like if you want to play Monopoly or like Chutes and Ladders, you can totally come here and we'll have a table on the side for you. 100%. Like, we're like, okay, we'll include you. But you should like intense board games for this night.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like little pieces and like...
Like instruction manual is more than 10 pages.
Okay. Ooh. Wow.
At
okay.
least.
We're talking some serious D&D-esque situation. Yeah.
They're fun though. Very approachable.
Listen, I've played
Very,
before.
Very approachable.
I've played
but,
before.
But they're, you know.
Tabletop games are where it's at, so...
And we're very, very excited. We're working with MemT, M-E-M, Mem.
Okay.
Out of Cambridge. They're one of the best... tea importers, and they actually grow tea here too. I didn't know that.
Cool.
They have some fields and farms in Maine. We're working with them to put on some tea education classes for some really high-end tea. And then we'll also be putting on our own coffee education classes this winter and spring. We're just ironing out the final details there to start training people on espresso and pour over.
Wow.
That's cool. Also, if you're a chamber member, you can come to Coffee Connections the fourth Tuesday of every month at Coffee and Kindness.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Except for this month because it's Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Yeah. But starting again in the new year.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Which is, by the way, one of our most popular events. And I hope you are. I mean, I know you're aware of that because we run out of chairs every single time. But yeah. So if you are listening and you've not been to our event, Coffee Connections at Coffee and Kindness, you should probably sign up because there's only 18 spots and it waitlists literally every single month.
Yes.
So people are a fan would be the light way to put it. Also great spot for meetings, just throwing that out there, and great spot to see everyone in the world that you know, because every time I have a meeting there's 50 other people I know come in and out.
It's almost hard to get work done at this point.
I'm sure for you especially.
Yeah. I definitely can't work there, but even other people, they're like, hey, I haven't been in a while because I see too many people when I'm here, so I need to actually get work done. I'm really sorry.
That's actually
a good
awesome,
problem
though.
To have.
Yeah, that's a fantastic problem. All right, we have a couple minutes left, so I would love to ask you, first of all, greatest accomplishment in the last year. What would you say? What are you most proud of about Coffee and Kindness?
I mean, I had a baby. That's like, I can't even, there's no accomplishment.
That's fair. Fair.
Well, my wife had a baby. I've raised a child to 1 year. It has been so hard for anything to even like make a blip on the radar since that. So accomplishment with Coffee and Kindness, we started roasting our own coffee. That was why I started it. It took us like 9 to 10 months to actually be able to offer that. But going through the process of getting some samples of green beans, sample roasting them, tasting them, and then picking the right one, roasting that, picking how we roast, like the whole process, and then designing a bag, getting everything shipped, waiting weeks and months for everything to show up, and then being able to deliver coffee bags. That was like the final moment of dream fulfillment of like, yes, okay, we have now built a coffee shop with pour over, roasting our own coffee.
That's amazing. And for those who are listening who perhaps are not local to Nashua, they can buy this coffee online.
coffeeandkindness.co. No M. That last M is very expensive, apparently.
Is it?
Someone has a domain. They want like $4,000 for it. So, yes.
.co.
.co. And you can buy all of our coffees. Also, our merch. We're expanding our merch line. We have some, our Drink Coffee, Be Kind, Repeat shirts are pretty popular right now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Great holiday gifts. Just throwing that out there for the coffee lovers. Get them a t-shirt. Get them all the coffee that they can drink.
Our hats drop tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the hats.
Did they say the same thing?
It's the Coffee and Kindness logo.
The logo. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it. Amazing. Cole, thank you for being here. This has been amazing.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah.
Really been wonderful.
Yeah, it really has. When you get back, listeners, or when we come back, I should say, Alyssa and I will be joined by Dan Staples of Dan's Balloons. You are listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM, 95.3 FM, live on air, and online at WSMN.live and Facebook. We will be right back after this short break.
Whether you're shopping along 101A, working out at one of the many boutique gyms or studios in the area, or simply enjoying a nice day out with the kids, you need healthy fuel to keep you going. Look no further than Clean Juice Nashua, your local neighborhood juice bar. Hi, I'm Mary Beth Fiango, owner of Clean Juice. We are located at 2 Cellu Drive in Nashua. Clean Juice is the only USDA-certified juice bar that offers you the purest organic, cold-pressed, never-processed juices, smoothies with hemp and whey protein, acai bowls, like our fan favorite, the Berry Bowl, and small bites like avocado toast and barbecue chicken wrap to help you thrive and stay on the go. For more information, visit us online at cleanjuice.com or stop by at Clean Juice 2 Cellu Drive, Nashua. Stay fresh, stay healthy. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, this is Tony Joyce from Joyce Cooling and Heating. Now that winter is here, your comfort and indoor air quality are more important than ever. A new heating system with a state-of-the-art air purification, humidification, or zoning options can make hibernating a lot more pleasant. Upgrading to any type system will save you money and ensure a worry-free system. Don't wait until you have no heat. And remember, that's Joyce Cooling and Heating, 882-4244, or on the web at joycecool.com.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at unitedwaynashua.org.
Catalyst, a person who empowers growth. I have been a catalytic agent for positive change for individuals, couples, families, and even businesses for over 30 years. If you want to achieve more of your potential, feel better in the life you're living, and want to maximize your business potential, check out what I do at kevinrossemery.com. P.S. I'm also an ADD-ADHD catalyst, helping those gifted to step more into their greatness.
Welcome back to Chamber Chats. I'm Alyssa O'Mara, and I am here with my co-host, Emma Williamson. You're listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. You can also watch us on Facebook or WSMN.live. Don't forget to give us a like and a follow.
Yes, and thank you again to our sponsor, Kevin Ross Emery, Inspirational Catalyst, and a big welcome to our second guest today, Dan Staples of Dan's Balloons. Let's just jump right in. If you are watching on Facebook or WSMN.live, you can see the beautiful Santa, the beautiful Grinch that Dan made and brought. It's amazing.
It's incredible. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You never fail to amaze us with your art, honestly.
I was anxious in the car outside, and I was like, I should bring something. And
you did these in the car?
Yeah, like while I was waiting. I was listening to
That's not true. You did not.
Yeah, I did. Right outside of the cabinetry place over there.
Oh, my God, damn. That's amazing. Just
that's amazing.
So, wait. Do you just have a car full of balloons at any given point that you're like, here we go?
I mean, the car, because I do a lot of ballooning, yes, there are usually just like piles of things. So like if my kids are somewhere and I have to like wait and I'm in the car, like I like to, one, if I show up places, it's kind of like my Linus security blanket. I'll always have a hat on, and typically if it's something like social, I like to have like some sort of balloon with me, because it's a good way to kind of introduce myself. Because if people ask what do you do, and I say a balloon artist, I always get like, oh, you're a balloon, a birthday clown. And there's nothing that fuels the fires of rage in my body more than people saying that. So I try to be like, no, I can make cool fun stuff. So I kind of keep that thing on me.
That's a great conversation piece to have, though.
That's what, like, I always wanted a sword. Like, I want like a Jon Snow Game of Thrones sword, because like a conversation piece. Mm-hmm. These are just like my little swords that I can be like, tiny knife. Here you go, baby.
Tiny knife. Oh my God.
That is awesome.
That's incredible. So for those of you who are not familiar with the fabulous Dan Staples, Dan's Balloons, You may recognize some of his work from our gala earlier this year. He did all of the incredible Breakfast at Tiffany's balloon art that was there from Audrey, who up until yesterday was still alive in the chamber offices. The giant Tiffany building. You've maybe seen some of his work through other organizations. You could have seen the giant boombox from Positive Street Arts event last year, which was my first introduction. I was like, is that made of balloons? Looking on Facebook, I couldn't even believe it.
Mine was the main Dunstable arch that you did for their graduation.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
That one was sick with all the spiky things.
I don't even know if I'm familiar with that one.
There's a lot. Both my kids went to Maine Dunstable, so throughout the entirety that they were there, I was doing, I would twist for certain things and just try to, like, donate a little bit. So typically, like, if my kids are at a school, like, that's where I'll give my time to, just because it's kids, and I know I hear stories about, like, kids in their school that, like, don't have things or can't celebrate things, and I know that's, like, everywhere, but, like, I called the business Dan's Balloons because it's always just me. So, like, if I had, like, a staff or whatever, like, it would be different and I could kind of give out more. But, like, I order the balloons. I have to come up with the balloons. I have to practice the balloons. I have to make the balloons. I have to bring them. So I try to, like, hone in my donations. And typically, like, I do that a lot with their schools. So, yeah, like, different arches every year that they graduate. And just stuff like that and, like, little things is whatever I can do for, like, Positive Street Art, as you mentioned. Like, I absolutely love them. And there's been a lot of stuff. I did a holiday stroll like way back when I started. I've been doing it in Nashua for about 8 to 9 years, I think. So it's been kind of like in and out a little bit. But yeah, it's cool just to try to do different things now. And like you were saying at the gala, like that was each sculpture, there was like, that was basically like everything I could do. So typically, like if I make these twisted things, people don't think I could make a giant house out of balloons or an archway. So I tried to like, trying to spread out so everybody can see everything that I can do.
Yeah.
All right. So you just said 9 years is how long you've been in business. How long have you been working with balloons as an art form? Was that also just in the last 10 years?
Yeah. So basically, when my oldest was born, she was in daycare, and daycare was obviously crazy expensive. And then my youngest was born, and it was kind of just like, I give up. There's no life outside of just working for daycare. My buddy had an entertainment company, and he was like, why don't you come and DJ for me? So I started at nights DJing corporate events and like weddings and stuff so that I could be home with the kids all day. And there was one party, and he was like, I can't find anyone. Do you think you could learn a couple balloon animals? So I learned like the three most basic ones you could. And I did that party, and he was like, I'm not doing that again. But I was home during the day and I had all this product, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna try. And then I found, basically through my own imagination, but like I looked and people were making like really cool stuff. And so I just kind of, for like a year, I just did it at home all the time, and then got to a point where he went to close his business and I was like, man, why don't I do that? So yeah, about 10 years now, that was like, it was completely by accident. Like my first balloon animal I've ever had was the one that I made to learn how to go to an event. Like, it's not like I'm like enthralled with the circus. Like I have friends that like my first magic set when I was like I should have been like a longshoreman or a post office worker because I grew up in Southie, but it's just like I can't go back now. I tried last year. I don't really want to do this. I think I want to do something else. And I stepped away from balloons and it just wasn't it. And then I didn't know that I wanted to, I love being an artist and being creative, but I'm not the best business person. So I ended up working for some really great friends down the Cape, and I was going to just move down there and just kind of be like a hired hand. But there's just an itch in me that like I'll never stop scratching. Even if like I closed Dan's Balloons as a business, like I would just do it as an art. Because I still like regularly just like to be able to create things like whenever I can. So yeah, it's been at least like 11 years ish that I've been like in this. And then once we moved to Nashua, it was just kind of like full on.
Let's talk a little bit about your recent installation with Positive Street Art, because Emma and I both were gifted the opportunity to go and see it. We went with, there was like six of us who went?
Yeah.
Five or six of us. And for those of you listening who were not able to see this incredible, incredible work that was, you know, Positive Street Art Space is one giant, you know, lofted area, but it was broken up into rooms by Dan's work. And, you know, to walk through and have all of us in tears after
instantly.
The first installation,
right away.
Like literally like bawling our faces off. And one of the women in our group straight up said, balloons are supposed to make you happy.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the point, right? Like it's the mix of emotions that the art was able to bring to us that was shocking, mm-hmm. because it was balloons. And you think it's going to be this like jovial, happy, silly thing, but to see like real emotion in it was absolutely incredible.
That was, I think, was that Michelle? Was that her name?
Michelle, yes.
Like that reaction is like all I want. Like if she was the only person that came and no one else showed up and I just heard that from her, like that's what I wanted to get out of it. Like obviously like I love balloons as like a business or whatever, but I think that as an artist, it's important that like not everything is like happy all the time, and balloons are the same thing. So like my first show that I did at Positive Street, I was called When the Party's Over, because you know, I set up these parties and people come from all over and they all have these great memories and they leave. But the second they leave that room, it's just cleared out and it's nothing. And it's just like all that positivity and joy is just gone and dispersed. And it's a memory now and it's just in photos. So there's a part of me that like I love what I do, but it also depresses me daily when I have to go and just pop everything. Like it's just gone. Like everything, all this beauty and wonder and joy is just in the trash again. So I think a lot of times when I create things with both shows, it's just kind of showed that balance. Like this, the past show, a couple people were like, oh, can I bring my kids? And I'm like, there's a guy punching a mirror.
You're like maybe you can, but maybe not.
I'm not paying for their therapy sessions in the future. You can do that yourself. But yeah, I think it's really important. And one of my favorite pieces that I've ever made was there's like a Mickey Mouse on my Instagram. And he's like, there's bills that are actually like my bills, like under a bottle of like whiskey. And he just looks so sad. And it's like some people laugh and like, oh, Mickey's going through them. And like, wow, he's like, he's always supposed to be on. And that's the thing is when you're in a performer or just life, if you're an adult or a parent, you always have to be that. And I think like with my businesses, I try to connect more. And like, especially being with the chambers, like I want to give adults the opportunity to feel different kind of emotions. Obviously joy, if you can feel like a kid, that's great. But like just to break you out of your cycle, because every day you're doing the same things and stressful and it's whatever. And then the only way I break out of that stressfulness and stuff is to see the people's reactions to the work. So the work itself doesn't like, I don't necessarily heal from that. It's to watch how you do it. So like when people come to the show, it honestly, the more people that cry makes me like feel better, which is a weird thing, but it's like I did what I set out to do.
Yeah,
that's really it.
It's fulfilling to you as an artist to give people those emotions.
Yeah, and especially with what I do, because it's really niche. And like I said, a lot of people don't think that it can be an art form. I mean, there's totally a business side of it. Like I go to conventions and I teach and I work for a specific brand that sponsors me and stuff like that. So there is that to it. But, you know, like I said, I could find a great job that pays me a ton of money and I would still like the shows and everything is my passion.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM, 95.3 FM on Facebook and WSMN.live. And now, Dan, you were mentioning that you do conventions and you teach people how to do your art form. Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah,
present on like how to make Santa or like how to make an Audrey Hepburn?
A little bit of both, honestly. It depends on like what you do. Like so personally, like what I teach is more of the creativity aspect of it. Like I don't saying like, this is how I make my Santa. And there are people that absolutely love doing that. I would rather go and say like, this Santa is really cool, but the three techniques I use to create it can help you create a bunch of different stuff. And it's more of trying to empower people to teach. So like I actually got asked to teach in Belgium in October of this coming year. And when I signed up, I was like, well, what do you want me to teach? And they were like, just you. Like, just be you. And like, whatever you bring is going to be great because we love how you do it. Like, they were watching me at this other convention I was teaching at, and they were like, just your presence and like the way you approach it. And I think there's, I'm very different in the balloon community. Like, I'm kind of that, like, I'm the controversial, I'm the loud, like, Boston guy that, like, sports, and I'm not into magic and stuff like that. So it's, I bring, like, a different perspective that other people don't. But it's cool. I mean, there's a ton. There's a Twist and Shout is a big one that I'm actually helping this year to, like, on the board or whatever, to, like, make it a better convention. And that's just for people that just do that. And then there are conventions for people that just do, like, the arches and stuff like that. I like to do both, but not everybody does. There are people that I have friends that would never want to make that for anybody because, like, it takes too long. It's like, if you get into a rhythm and stuff, like, it took me 10 minutes to make the two of those sitting outside in the car. Like, it's just...
That's incredible to me. Like, oh, my God. Balloon Academy, is that something? I did a Google before we started.
Yeah, because... Balloon Academy. So, I do have... Those are some basic... Not basic, but they're tutorials of things that I make, like, an Infinity Gauntlet from, like, the Avengers movies. And then there's, like, some like, little different ones. That's just like you can go on there and you could just like buy it, you download it, you can watch it as many times as you want. And that's my buddy owns that. But I have a bunch of stuff through that and I'll be releasing more stuff through that. But I like teaching live because as one of my favorite quotes is chaos breeds life while order breeds habit. And I am very, not that I don't want to say I welcome it, but I'm constantly always in chaos. So like, I've just kind of learned to work through that. And I think that's what like balloons are. Like everything is very finicky. Like you don't know how it's going to last. Like I had a cat from the gala, like one of the ones I didn't finish that was in my trunk. I took it out of my trunk yesterday and it's in my, I almost brought it. It's just soft, but it's the same thing. Like the Audrey, like you don't know that could last a month or that could completely pop on the way back to the chamber offices. Yeah. Like you have no idea. So being teaching live is a lot more fun for me.
Yeah. And do you have those moments like mid teaching something, all of a sudden the balloon you're working on just explodes and you have to start all over again?
Yeah, no, I'll be like earmuffs kids and then I just say my frustrations out and then you just keep moving. But yeah, it's the worst is like you make something and you like go to draw the face and the face just explodes or like, well, like the Audrey Hepburn, I had to weave that dress. The absolute worst feeling as a balloon artist is you finish it and you like put it in the car or something and you just, it's quiet and you just hear like you hear something and you don't know what it is and you're like on the heads if like an ear pops the whole head can burst so you're like oh my gosh
like, what is it
there's a lot of anxiety. My body's like this most of the time even though on the outside I'm like this.
So I have to ask because I need to know how many balloons did you use in that installation at Positive Street Art because I know that we all had to guess based on when we walked in, I mean at the end, but I mean, I feel like my number was way under. Do you know how many balloons you used?
It was very, very roughly because I didn't count some of the actual twisting ones, but we're at like 6,350.
Wow. I was way off. I said like 1,200 something.
It was tricky because there's like a lot of little ones. I was counting mostly like the full bags that I used.
Yeah.
But in all the sculptures, like I don't count those because it's that chaos. Well, like once I create, some of that stuff, like the arches and things, like you can do recipes or like the backdrop at the gala, like that is like, that's 10 strands of this and that's like super formulated and I can just put on headphones and go. But twisting, like you want to make sure the proportions are correct and there's like different kind of aspects of
it. Like you might add an extra balloon in on a whim or...
Yeah, or like little scrappy pieces, like the ball on the end of Santa's hat is the tip of one of the balloons that I broke. So that doesn't count as two balloons, but like... Yeah, it's like little weird stuff.
Interesting. That is fascinating. I can't even. Sorry. I'm like looking at these intricate details that you don't even think about.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's like a gift and a curse because it's cool. Like, a lot of people, like, if I go and I make that for, like, a kid somewhere, like, I did an event at Sky Meadow recently and there's, like, little, like, even the Grinch, like, I try to make him have, like, sassy hands on the hips, which probably takes me an extra 30 seconds, but, like, one out of 20 people will be like, oh, my God, look at that. But a kid will just take it and start bashing it on the table. So it's like, oh, man, I could have just given him regular
Like, the kid
rounds,
doesn't
but,
care.
Yeah,
could have just... that one kid that needs a sassy Grinch or something, like, there's a... that I don't necessarily thrive on the smiles of everybody, but you can tell, like, that one kid that's just kind of going through it or whatever, and, like, that's, like... huge bright moment, like that's what, like if I do that every time, I'm gonna eventually get to that one person that needs that, and I don't want to bail because I don't feel like doing something and that kid loses out again. Like that's kind of not awesome.
Dan, you're awesome.
I know.
That is such a, I mean, I don't know, It's just beautiful, like that you're doing it for that one person that needs it, in the you know, 100 people who might go to an event. It's for that one, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The yeah, your installation at Positive Street Art like makes me weepy just thinking about it. Yeah. My favorite piece personally was the bus or subway car, the bus with,
oh, yeah.
I mean, just the detail in it down to like the clear balloon people. Like there was just such nuance in everything. You could see the decisions were all so specific that you made throughout the whole thing. So do you have any new projects coming up that people can come see?
I think this year what I'm going to do is each month I'm focusing on something, just like a bigger piece that I want to do, and probably more like photography style wise. This show took a lot out of me, just because like a lot of other personal stuff going on. And even Dan's Balloons like technically was closed at the beginning of the year. So like I'm really trying to, you know, trying to reopen a business at the end of the year probably wasn't the best idea on my part, but we're going to get out ready for 2025. So like it was kind of like a, I wish I had timed it out differently, so that I do have an idea of the next show. Every show that I do, like each of the pieces is always based off of a song, and the song makes me feel a way, and I try to take that feeling inside and put that into a sculpture. So the first show was all like really just all over the place, but it was way more deeper, and I was going through like a lot, like the loss of my mom and just like a lot of different things. This show that you guys saw like was more of a journey, more generic. There were definitely like small pieces of me in it, but it was more of trying to step back and letting you be in it and decipher it in your own way, rather than being like, oh, this is his thing.
For those of you that can come to the installation we're talking about, which was called Homecoming, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. The very first display started with the song Stick Season by Noah Kahan. So that's when I lost it, was when you turned, because you're like, oh, I'll restart the playlist. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, for the record, the fact that I knew every single song and that I like listened to them, I think, again, you chose songs that would be poignant for certain people, right? Like, but the same thing with the sculptures and the artwork itself, like, everything was just, it was so
intentional.
Yes, that's the word. Like, and it was, I can appreciate what you're saying about how like it was you, but it also was for the people who were walking through, because it did share about you, but at the same time it was topics that were relatable to everyone. Like, we could all see ourselves in those moments. Like, it's making me emotional right now just like thinking about it. But and I think actually when Cecilia from Positive Street Art was on the show just a few weeks ago, or maybe months ago, I don't even know anymore. Time is a
what
flat
is time?
Circle.
What is it?
It's a flat circle. That's what it is. But when she was here, we were talking about the artistic process and how it is so important for people. And I mentioned that I heard a couple of years ago that there is a final stage of grief that is not mentioned often, but after the last stage of grief, the last one is actually creation, and that in order to move through the whole grieving process, you have to create something that will help other people in their healing of whatever it is. And you did that. I mean, I wrote on one of those balloons that you posted, like, this was healing. Just going through it was a healing thing to experience. And if you had ever told me that I would be an emotional wreck after walking through a room of balloons, I truly would have been like, that's not possible. But it was so clear. It was joyous and sad and all of the things at the same time. So.
And that was like kind of back to that one person. Like, there's a bunch of people that came that just flew through it in like 10 minutes. They didn't, you know, like, oh, these art sculptures, and like didn't really try to like get into it. There was some people that brought headphones, and like, you know, the fact that you took the time to like immerse yourself in it and like make the connection, like that's what it was all about. And when I was trying to do my first show, I was going to all these different galleries, and I didn't want to approach PSA, but I was like, nah, whatever. And Cecilia was like, absolutely. And then the first one, we like kind of felt some things out, and this one she literally was like, here's the keys, you have the space for the week, whatever you want. And they're like, I love everybody in that room, in that building. Like, they are amazing people. And like, what I want to do in the future has been like shaped by what they've shown me, not just as people, but like as artists and like what they do. And it's just like a partnership. Like, I'll do anything for them at any point. And, you know, there was people that kept kind of coming and going, and I would get frustrated, but like, you guys came through, and like, talking to Cecilia, she's like, that's what, not everybody's going to understand every installation, but that's what you wanted, and you're doing that for those people. So thank you for making it like worth it for me, I guess.
Emma's crying. Alyssa made the joke to Dan that Emma's going to cry today, and I was like, no, I won't. Here we are.
Crying.
Here we
are. For those of you listening and not watching, Emma, we're going to rename this Emma's Waterworks. It's not Chamber Jets anymore.
It's Chamber Cries with Emma.
There we go.
I like it. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Chamber Cries. I feel like that could be that's a new networking group.
We could sell sponsorship on the tissue boxes for local businesses.
My gosh.
We're good to go.
Dan, see, you are a businessman.
A little bit of a hustle.
Dan, the businessman.
I love it so much. Oh, my God.
Dan, where can people find you? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
So someone actually stole the dansballoons.com from me, so what? I don't have that. I know, and now it's some like weird phishing site. So I have a site, but it's called wickedawesomeballoonshow.com, which I just had because that was like a side project. But you could go there, but like Instagram at dansballoons or Facebook at dansballoons. That's where I post most of my stuff, and you can get to my website through that. Yeah, and just follow along. I'm trying to... I'm kind of branching out. Like I said, there's the business side of me that's trying to get in and help like corporations celebrate and all that. But there's the other side of the art aspect. So, I do have like random prints and stuff like that, that I'm going to kind of develop more this year just to be more of an artist that people can own things. Yeah. And like, the leaves from the trees at the show, I'm going to be like matting those and putting those on, like making art out of those, so you can like actually own a piece of the show, like stuff like that. So yeah, just different this year. We'll
That's awesome.
Switch it up.
That's fantastic. Dan, thank you so much for joining
thank
us today.
Thank you for having
me. And the Santa and the Grinch.
Yeah, and thank you for our Grinch and Santa, which will be coming back to replace Audrey in the place of power in the office. It's amazing.
Excellent.
For those of you who may have missed it earlier, we do have a few events coming up this week. Tomorrow is Making the Most of Your Membership. That is with the fabulous Emma and Ashley from our marketing department. From our marketing department of one.
She is
one.
The
marketing department. They will be hosting that via Zoom tomorrow morning. So please feel free to sign up. There is still room in that because it's Zoom. It can fit everybody.
Everyone.
Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m., we have Out of the Box Lunch. This month, we will be hearing from Lady Baxley of Greater Nashua Mental Health. And if you're not free before the holidays and you want to catch up with us in the new year, you should buy your tickets now for the 2025 Legislative Economic Outlook Breakfast. That will be on Wednesday, the 15th of January from 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. at Nashua Country Club. Members and non-members welcome. It's just a $5 difference in tickets. So if you just live in the Nashua area and you're not a chamber member, you can still come, but you should be a chamber member. So feel free to reach out to Emma with questions about that.
Yes.
Emma, it has been a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
Dan, you're fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Both awesome. Thank you.
Listeners, you can join us again in 2 weeks when we will be joined by two more Greater Nashua Chamber member organizations. You have been listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. Don't forget, you can watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. Make sure you follow us on social, and we will chat with you again soon. My name is Alyssa O'Mara. Thanks for tuning in.